Luke chapter 4, we're talking about victory in Jesus tonight. And in Luke 4, we have the greatest battle, I guess, that was ever fought on this earth. And that's where Jesus battled with Satan. And the temptation. And we're going to read the first 13 verses of Luke 4. I want you to follow along with me. Luke chapter 4, verses 1 through 13. And Jesus, being full of the Holy Ghost, returned from Jordan, was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. All right, Jesus has been baptized. Now he's being led by the Spirit. This is the Holy Spirit. Out into the wilderness. Being 40 days, he's in the wilderness 40 days. And it says, tempted of the devil. And in those days, he did eat nothing, and when they were ended, he afterward hungered. Look up here, 40-day fast. 40 days in the wilderness with nothing. The Bible says he afterward hungered. And you know, when Jesus came to this earth, he came as the God-man. He's all God, he's all man. And he has the attributes of man in that he does hunger, he does thirst, he gets tired. And the Bible reminds us there, he's in the desert for 40 days, now he's hungry. Can you imagine how hungry you'd be after 40 days of fasting? Yeah? And the devil said unto him, if thou be the Son of God, command this stone that it be made bread. And Jesus answered him, saying, it is written that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. And the devil, taking him up into an high mountain, showed unto him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. And the devil said unto him, all this power will I give thee, and the glory of them, for that is delivered unto me, and to whomsoever I give it. If thou therefore wilt worship me, all shall be thine. And Jesus answered and said unto him, get thee behind me, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. And he brought him up to Jerusalem and set him on a pinnacle of the temple and said unto him, if thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down from hence. For it is written, he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee. And in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou shalt dash thy foot against a stone. By the way, there's an indication that Satan knows the Bible. See, because that's told in the Psalms. And Jesus, answering, said unto him, it is said, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. And the devil had ended all the temptation. He departed from him for a season. And let's pray. Lord, bless our time we're going to spend here looking at this passage, seeing what you have for us. And Lord, looking at the idea of our victory in Jesus. And here we see the victory over temptation. Help us to understand we can have that victory. We don't have to succumb. We don't have to let the devil have his way. God, help us to see how we can, like Jesus did, have victory over the temptations of life. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Temptation. Somebody said, the second mouse gets the cheese. Temptation, when I thought about that, I thought about, yeah. Isn't that what gets the mouse? I don't use cheese anymore. I use peanut butter. But they come over there and they go after it. I was going to put a picture up of the results. But I thought, it might be a little queasy for some people. Victory over temptation. That's our subject. Now, if we as believers really want to have the victory, we're going to have to understand this. We have an enemy who's going to fight us every step of the way. If you've made a decision, I'm going to live for Christ, you are going to face opposition from the evil one. When we make that decision, he don't just back off and say, well, you know, that one's going to live for Christ, I'll go bother somebody else. Oh, no. When you make that decision, it's like pouring salt in his wound. Now he decides, I'm going to fight even harder against this one. And so he's going to work on us. He's our adversary. He's the one against us. Since the very beginning of time, Satan has never wanted God's people to know the joy of having the victory of that right relationship with the Father. Now, he doesn't want you to have victory today. That's why Peter warns us over in 1 Peter 5:8 that Satan walks around like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Boy, that word devour. He wants to eat him up. So he's our enemy. And he's the enemy of every believer. He's the enemy of those of us who read this Bible and learn the Bible. It's his desire that he can get us away from God and the things of God. Now, we read about Jesus here and how he suffered temptation. He went through these trials. And you know, it wasn't just to prove his deity here. But he's here being an example to us of fighting temptation and winning the battle. The Bible says Jesus was led into the wilderness by the Holy Spirit. The steps Jesus took into this place of temptation were planned steps. They were steps God had planned for him. There was a plan, there was a purpose, there was a reason in his temptation. And one of the reasons was to help us. So let's look at this now and notice, first of all, the pattern of the tempter. The pattern of the tempter. You know, there are certain ways the enemy works when he tempts God's people. There's really a pattern to his behavior. Think about this. Those of you who are sports fans, think about this. Before the NFL football game, do you think they just lay around all week and then when game time comes, they go out in the field and play? No. The coaches, the players, they all get game film and they watch the opposition. They watch this team's last game and the game they played against them last year and some of those kind of things, and they try to pick up on different things that will help them. They'll look for weaknesses on the other team. For instance, they might see a left tackle on offense who's not protecting his quarterback like he should, and they say, we can exploit that. Or maybe they'll see something on defense that they say, well, this guy's not very fast. We can put our fastest guy against him. We can exploit that. They're looking for weaknesses. You know what else they're looking for? The strength of the other team. They want to find out, where is this team strong so we know where we have to attack, where we have to be careful. Now, they come up with a game plan. This is how we're going to attempt to win this game. This is how we're going to face the opposition. Well, don't you think the devil has a game plan for your life? Don't you think he watches your life and watches for those weak points? Don't you think he understands your strong areas? Listen, this is an enemy who wants to destroy us. He's not playing games. He's serious about this. And he works real hard at it. But somebody said this. There aren't very many plays in the devil's playbook that he will put a different spin on his plays, but the basic pattern never really changes. You know why? You know why he don't have to come up with new tricks? Because the old ones work. How did he trick Adam and Eve? He said, "Yea, as God said." He caused doubt, didn't he? He's still using that one. People doubt God's word. We could go on and on about the tricks he's been using, and they work. But see, here's the thing we need to understand. We need to see how he approached the temptation of Christ as we see this account here. And we can see the patterns he uses to attack us. Really? Yeah. Watch this. Temptation of the flesh. Does he ever tempt your flesh? Every day. Every day he dangles things in front of our flesh that our flesh likes. Huh? He says, hey, feed your flesh here. Let your flesh have the victory. That's the same way he attacked Christ, and that's the first attack he brought. The physical appetite. So here's Jesus. He's hungry. He's been fasting for 40 days. He's out in this hot, barren Judean desert. And Satan comes to him and attacks him, so to speak, where he would be the weakest, hunger, the flesh. And that's what he likes to do. He don't attack our places of strength. He don't attack us when we're strong. He attacks us when we're weak and where we're weak. See, you know, it's a dangerous time in our Christian lives when we get tired and we get sick and we get hungry and we sink into self-pity. Those are dangerous times because he loves to attack them. Have you ever been down spiritually? Don't look at me that way. Seriously, have you ever just been down in your spiritual life? Isn't that when he crawls up on your shoulder and starts whispering in your ear? Oh, you want to be a Christian, huh? You want to serve the Lord, huh? Look at all the problems you have. Look at all the stuff you're not enjoying that the world is. Right? He attacks. So here comes the devil. Jesus is hungry, and he attacks him in this area of the flesh, and he tries to attack Jesus with the misuse of his power. He knows Jesus is hungry. And don't ever forget this. He knows exactly who Jesus is. He keeps saying, "If thou be the Son of God," but he knew who he was. That's why he's tempting him. So he says, "Why don't you make these rocks bread so you can eat?" Question. Is there anything sinful about bread? That's not a trick question. How many of you ate bread today? Is there anything sinful about bread? No, not in itself. Well, why wouldn't Jesus make the rocks bread then so he could eat bread? Because it would be an abuse of his power. It wouldn't be for any purpose to help somebody or those that he did the miracle for. It would be to entertain himself, so to speak, or to feed his flesh. Now, Jesus' power wasn't a power he had to use selfishly. And he didn't have to demonstrate his deity here. Jesus did everything according to the will of his Father in heaven, the Bible tells us. So here comes Satan. He's going to battle with Jesus, and he has a plan. And so he comes and he attacks the flesh. He says, "You're hungry. Why don't you just make these stones bread?" you can feed yourself. He attacks the power of Jesus. He wants him to abuse it. And of course, Jesus wouldn't do it. But understand this, he appeals to our physical appetites all too often. And you know, our physical appetites in themselves are not wrong. We get thirsty, we get hungry, we get tired. Those things are natural. But we got to be careful we don't let him use them to abuse. We don't let him attack in those areas. You know, a lot of believers have been tempted and they've fallen to physical temptations. And here's why. Rationalization. Well, that's a big word, isn't it? But here's what I'm saying. A lot of Christians sometimes will rationalize doing wrong because they have a legitimate need. Well, you know, it's okay to steal a little here because I have a need. It's okay to not pay this bill because I have a need. I don't have enough money to pay that, so I'm just not going to pay. And on we could go, how Christians rationalize sin. We need to understand, right is right, wrong is wrong. And we can't rationalize wrong into being right. Yeah. Using wrong means to meet needs guarantees us sin and heartbreak. So number one, he attacked it there, the temptation of the flesh. And then the temptation of ambition. That first temptation didn't work, so the devil went on back to hell, right? No. First one didn't work, so what did he do? Plan B. Listen, he'll attack you, and when the first one don't work, don't think, well, I won that battle, that's over. Oh, no. He's regrouping for plan B. He's coming back at you. Mark it down. You might have won that battle, but the battle's not over. He's coming back. And we need to understand that. We need to be prepared for that. We need not to let down our guard. So now he attacks Jesus in this area of ambition. He shows Jesus all the kingdoms of the world. The purpose of Jesus' coming was to seek and save that which was lost, we're told in Luke 19:10. So here's the devil, and he showed Jesus a way he could have power and authority without having to suffer that death on the cross. See, he wanted to divert Jesus away from God's plan of redemption. He said, you can have all the power and authority in this world. Just worship me. Of course, we know Jesus isn't going to do that. You say, how in the world could Satan offer that to Jesus when Jesus is Lord? Now, don't ever forget, the devil is the prince and the power of the air, the Bible says. And in John 14:30, Jesus said he is the prince of this world. So God has allowed Satan to have the rulership, so to speak, of this world. You know, we look around and we wonder, why are these things happening? How can all this wickedness, don't forget you're living in enemy territory. I thought God owned everything. He does. And he's still the sovereign God over this world, but he's allowed Satan to be the prince of this world and the prince of the power of the air and to have authority in this world right now. God's allowed him that, but one day that'll end. So that's why the devil could offer that to Jesus. But I'm glad Jesus didn't succumb. We need to realize that oftentimes the devil comes to us and he tries to get to us through ambition. Let me read something here. It's important to realize that not every promotion, not every success, not every business opportunity is from the Lord. Sometimes Christians come and they say, preacher, my employer offered me a promotion. I'm going to make more money. and I'm going to have better opportunities. I'm going to climb the ladder. Oh, yeah? What's the downside? Oh, I have to work Sundays. I can't come to church anymore. I have to compromise. You know, in order to do this, you know, I work in a restaurant chain. I'm going to have to serve liquor. Are you with me? Well, you know, I believe in dressing right, and for me to have this opportunity, you know, I'm a waitress, and I'm going to have to wear a certain garment that maybe isn't so pleasing to the Lord. It's amazing to me sometimes what Christians will do to get ahead. They'll sell themselves. Don't ever do that. Can I tell you this? Making a little more money, getting a little further in the company, getting another promotion is not worth selling yourself. Well, then the third way, ambition, the pride and sensationalism when he took him up on top of that tower. He said, now just jump off of there and prove who you are, that the angels will get you. You know, the Bible says that's going to happen. Do something sensational. And Jesus said, oh no, that's not how I operate. Here's the opportunity for Jesus to gain the attention of all these Jews who were denying who he was. But he wouldn't have to follow God's plan. Why? He could jump off of there and the angels would do it. And all the Jews would say, that's him. We know. Now we're sure. No. See, the devil knows that if he can get our attention off of Jesus onto ourselves, we're going to fall. And that's what he wants us to do. Pride and sensationalism. Get all wrapped up in me and people knowing who I am, people knowing what I can do. Don't sell yourself for it. So we see the pattern of the tempter. These are areas where he attacks lust of the eyes, lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. Think about this. If he was so brazen to come against Jesus with these methods, don't you think he's going to come against little you? I mean, you're like nothing compared to coming against Jesus. Well, then look, point number two, the power of the Scriptures. See, this temptation that God wrote for us, by the way, you find it in Matthew chapter 4 as well, doesn't just show us the pattern Satan uses, but it shows us how to respond to his attacks. Jesus allowed himself to be tempted so he could give us the pattern, the game plan, for us to win the battle. It's not hard to understand if Satan tempted Jesus, he's going to come against us, and we better be ready to respond. How do we respond? Word of God. See, the Word of God promises a way of escape. Now hold your place there and go over to 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Most of us are familiar with this verse. The Bible says, there hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. You're going through temptations and trials, but don't think like you're the only one. And listen, don't ever think nobody else has ever gone through this. I had somebody say that to me one time. Well, nobody's ever gone through this before. Hey, a lot of people have gone through whatever you go through. And more than that, Jesus went through it. We'll get to that. Don't think you're only one. There hath no temptation in you but such as is common to man. But God is faithful. Thank the Lord he's faithful. He's a whole lot more faithful than we are. Who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you're able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape that you may be able to bear it. So Satan's going to tempt us. We understand that, right? But God has made us able to defeat the temptation every time. So anytime you lose the battle, it's your fault, it's not God's fault. It's your fault, it's not the devil's fault. That old television show, a fellow named Flip Wilson, you say, well, the devil made me do it. Well, you know, that's a cry of a lot of Christians. Ah, the devil made me do it. No, he tempted you, but you gave in to the temptation that you didn't have to. God already had a way of escape for you. You just didn't take it. Oh, where's that way of escape? In the Scriptures. Now, notice this. Scriptures promise there is a way of escape. Whatever the temptation. Well, I got a problem with anger. I got a problem with pride. I got a problem with my temper. I got a problem with lust. I got a problem with ungodly friendships. You can win all those battles. The victory is yours if you will just take the victory. See, it's our responsibility to take advantage of the way, the means God has given us to avoid sin. Here's a quote. The reason most people have trouble resisting temptation is that they don't want to discourage it completely. Let me rephrase it. The reason a lot of people have trouble with temptation is because they want to toy around with it. They don't want to just resist it and say, no, no, no. They want to say, well, you know, maybe a little bit won't hurt. Let me see how close to sin I can get and not really get sucked in. Boy, it's quiet now. That's the reason a lot of people lose. You know, the old saying, you play with fire, you get burned. You play with sin, you get burned. So why don't we do like the Bible says and flee instead of playing around with it? If we're going to win the battle over temptation, we have to respond properly and we have to respond promptly or we're going to lose. Temptations we face are common to everybody. We're not being pushed past our endurance. The Bible says. Well, what's that mean? Well, do you know that God knows how much you can take? God knows your limitations, and He will never take you beyond them. Now, temptations can mean temptations of sin, or they can mean testings. I don't know about you. I know my experience. I've been through some testings where I really, really, really wondered, Lord, I know that verse is in the Bible, but it sure seems like we've gone beyond. Have you ever been there? But see, when I worked at that can company, and sometimes we'd have to temper steel. You know, we'd have to make parts for machines. And sometimes the machine part would have to be tempered. That means hardened. And so what we'd have to do is heat that baby up, whatever it was, and then dip it in oil. Now, that heating up, I'm sure, if that steel could feel, would say, ooh, that hurt. But see, that tempered it. That made it able to handle whatever it had to handle. And you know, sometimes we take a piece of steel and we can bend it. And it'll come back. But sometimes if you bend it too far, it'll break. But see, God says, for a Christian, there's no breaking point. He's not going to bring us to that place of breaking. We have to understand that. The victory is in the Word of God. We can be victorious Christians when we get into the Bible and we learn the promises that God has for us. Now, they provide this way of escape. You know, every time the devil tempted Jesus, we know his response. He responded with the Word of God. He didn't say, well, I think. He said, God said, it is written. You know, we'd be real good if we learned some Bible. Thy word have I hid in mine heart that I might not sin against thee. Do you know that's your way of escape? What do you mean? Well, when you're tempted to sin, let's say you have a problem with lust. Well, you learn a verse in the Bible or some verses in the Bible have to deal with that, like having the right kind of thoughts over in Philippians chapter 4 or having the mind of Christ or whatever, and you start quoting them to the devil. You know, you'll escape that problem with lust real quick because you'll now be filling your mind with the right things instead of the wrong things. I remember when I first got saved and I went to Pastor Fidem, of course, I still had a lot of issues in my life as an unsaved man. You know, now I'm saved. I got to deal with these things. And I went to him. I said, you know, man, I got all these bad. You know what he did? He gave me the, what were they called? There was a group of people. He used to put out these little packets of verse cards. And he handed me one of those. And he said, now, every time you're tempted in some area, take out one of those cards and memorize it. There'd be verses on it. So when I went to work, I started putting those cards in my pocket. And when I'd have a temptation, you know, I'd pull those out and I'd start memorizing Scripture. I'd start filling my mind with Scripture. I remember I memorized Isaiah 53:1 through, I don't know, 10 or 12 right off the bat. You know, it works. But in order to do that, you have to have hid the Word of God in your heart. How many of you carry a Bible around with you 24 hours a day? So a temptation comes our way. Where are we going to get the Word of God? We better have it here. We better have it memorized so when the temptation comes, we've got the equipment, we've got the weapon to throw back. Victory is in the Word of God. They promise a way of escape. And then they provide a way of escape. As I said, it's in the Word of God. Quoting the Word of God, reciting the Word of God, and following the Word of God. Then we see this. The promise to the tempted. You know, I'm glad when I'm tempted, I'm not alone. Because I know the enemy is the one tempting me. And boy, isn't he powerful? I'm not saying we need to worship the devil, but you need to understand this. You need to respect his power. How many of you have electricity in your house? How many of you like to go around with the receptacles and start playing around with them? Or take the light fixtures down and play around with the wires? Why don't you do that? Because you respect electricity. You know what it can do. How many of you know what it can do? How many of you have found out by experience what it can do? I have. I was doing something one day. I had a pair of cutters. I was doing something with electricity. And I cut, I didn't know I was doing it, but I cut into a live wire. Thankfully, the pliers were insulated. But when I cut into that wire, the pliers went, poof, clear across the room. So we don't mess around with electricity. Why? We respect it. We know what it can do. Well, friend, you need to respect the power of the enemy and understand he is a very powerful enemy. And in ourselves against him, we have no hope. Our hope is in Jesus Christ. Our hope is in his power. And so we need to understand when we go through a temptation, we're not alone, and we need to look to him for the power to overcome. Now, there's victory in the Word of God. Jesus said, it is written that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. He's giving us a promise that we can enjoy the victory over temptation through the Bible. We know that this is God's complete revelation of Himself to us. Somebody said this, and I think it's applicable. It's one thing to believe in the authority of the Bible as the inerrant, infallible Word of God, and to take it as our final authority in matters of faith and practice. Now, probably most of us in this room, at least we should be at that point, where we say, oh, I believe the Bible is inerrant, it's infallible, it's inspired, it's divinely preserved, it's the Word of God, it's our guide for faith and practice, etc. We should understand that that should be our creed. But see, it's still a different thing or another thing to claim that authority we say the Bible has for our personal victory over the temptations we face. Everybody in this room say, yeah, the Bible's powerful. Well, are you using it? Yeah, the Word of God will defeat Satan. Are you using it? Are you getting beat up? Is he having a heyday with you? There's victory. The promise to the tempting. Victory in the Word of God. And there's victory in submitting to God. I won't ask you to raise your hands, but I know many of you have gotten involved in reading through the Bible in a year. And one of the preachers said this week, you know, it's a good thing to read through the Bible, but don't just read to read. And I agree with that. I don't want you just to read to read. I want you to read to learn. Read to understand. Read to be familiar with the Word of God. But we also need to do what the Bible calls study the Word of God. You know, God speaks to us through His Word. That's what convicts us and convinces us and grows us in the Lord, when His Word speaks to us. I don't know if you, I'm sure, I would hope you've had the occasion to be reading the Word and it's like God speaking to you personally. You know, I'm talking about one of those verses that jump off the page and slap you across the face. I don't like that. But it's there. And God uses it. See, this book is quick and alive, the Bible says. So the Bible is the Word of God. We believe it, but do we use it? See, so many believers don't hide any scripture in their heart. So many believers know what God says, but they don't obey it. I'm amazed sometimes that people who say, well, yeah, I remember this verse, I remember that verse, I can tell you this verse. Oh, I went to Sunday school, and you know, I went to church for a while, and I learned this and this and this. But they don't apply any of it. See, when God speaks to us through His Word, He doesn't speak to us to give us information only. This isn't just a textbook. It's not just a history book. He doesn't just want to make us smarter. You know, there's people who like to analyze the Bible. Sometimes I run into people, you know, when I'm reading, that want to tear it apart, kind of analyze it. No, that's not why God gave it to us. What we need to do is learn what it says and then apply what we learn. See, when you come to church and I try to teach you and help you, it's not just you can analyze the scriptures. It's so you know what God said. You can apply it in your life. See, our idea, our need is to have faith that works. Oh, I have faith. Does it work? James said, faith without works is dead. You say, oh, I'm doing works. I'm talking about your faith working. Does it help you in times of temptation? Does it strengthen you and help you to resist the devil? You know, there's also this. There's victory in God's Word. There's a victory in submitting to God. And one of the things the Bible teaches us, Romans chapter 13, Paul says this, we're not to make provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. See, if we're going to be serious about living the Christian life, we separate from sin and the temptations of sin as much as we can. We don't toy around with things that will tempt us. Way back when I was working at that can company, a fellow came to me one day, and God had given me victory over tobacco. I fought a battle, God gave me the victory. He gets the glory. Couldn't do it on my own. He did it. Well, this fellow knew that. And it was a few months after I quit. And he came to me one day and he said, I want you to know I quit smoking. I said, you did? He said, yeah, I'm done. I'm not smoking anymore. And I said, well, what's that in your pocket? He had an unopened pack of cigarettes in his pocket. Oh, that, he said, that's just in case I get to where I can't take it. Well, I knew right then he wasn't going to quit. See, he was making provision for the flesh. Just in case my flesh gets the best of me. Listen, a lot of Christians are that way. Huh? Well, I know I shouldn't do this, but, you know, I know I shouldn't look at that magazine. But I'm going to keep the subscription. I know I shouldn't go to that place because, you know, I might get tempted. But I'm going to go anyway. And I'll be strong. No, you'll be stupid. Yeah. Listen, when you start thinking that in your power you can overcome temptation, you're just being plain stupid, because it ain't going to happen. If you think you can defeat it on your own, you're going to lose the battle. And we're not to make provision for the flesh. We need to surrender every area of our lives to God, be willing to give up anything that would lead us to sin. That means, you know, there are some TV shows I shouldn't watch. There's some music I shouldn't listen to. There's some places I shouldn't go. There's some people I shouldn't hang around. There's some stuff I shouldn't read. There's some stuff on a computer I shouldn't look at. There's some places on the internet I shouldn't go. Why? Might tempt me to sin. I remember when I first got saved, you know, the guys I worked with all went to the bar every day. And sometimes they'd ask me, oh, want to go to the bar? I said, no. Well, you can just drink Coke. You don't have to drink beer and wine and that kind of stuff. I said, no, I don't go there. Why? Because I'd be making provision for the flesh. I'd be putting myself in a place where it could get the best of me. Better just stay away. Now let me just throw this in. When you do that, you're considered a snob. Oh, you want to socialize with me? No, I don't want to mess up on God. And I'd rather you think I'm a snob than disappoint my Father. Amen. And then there is victory in resisting Satan. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. As I said, too often we're willing not to resist. we're willing to actually give him inroads instead of resisting him. You're in a wrestling match every day. I'm in a wrestling match every day. We wrestle against our flesh, but we also have to wrestle against our enemy. And one of his greatest tools and weapons, you listen to me, is our flesh. He uses it against us. So we need the purpose in our heart. I'm not going to let him win these battles. Jesus used the word of God. Jesus wouldn't submit. Jesus stood firm and fast. Jesus resisted the devil. I need to have a battle plan. I need to understand if I'm going to win this battle, I better have some kind of plan in this thing. And the best way is follow Jesus. We have a promise. There's victory in the Word of God. There's victory in submitting to God. And there's victory in resisting Satan. Now, again, I'm no English grammar major, but I know you can take the opposite of those and it makes the opposite true as well. So let's do that. There is no victory without the Word of God. There is no victory without submitting to God. There is no victory without resisting Satan. So what do you want to do? I don't know about you, but I'm not much on losing. That old adage, well, it's not whether you win or lose, it's how you play the game. That's baloney. Can I tell you this? I wouldn't step on an athletic field in a contest if winning wasn't my number one priority. Ain't no way. What's the purpose? Just go out there to play? No. We go to win. I don't want to lose this battle. See, because this isn't over a trophy. This isn't over first place. This isn't over a little ribbon. This is over eternal things. I sure don't want to lose this battle. And so I need to learn to fight temptation and get the victory over temptation. We all face it, but we don't have to give in to it. Father, thank you for Jesus. Thank you for his example. Thank you for your word and how you promised us that you'd make a way of escape. And we know the way is in your word.